Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, we're episode 276 of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton, and who's starting a street fight with me tonight?
This is Blair Farrell from comicbookvideogames.com, and to everyone listening to this discussion, it was the greatest day of your life, but to us, it was Sunday.
This is Daniel Melman, been stuck in Guile's handcuffs for going on 30 years now, and still don't want to reset the machine.
This is downright fierce Adam from Top Games Chew Bubblegum.
And this is Kyle, and I wish I had something cool to say and quit, but I'll only say this. Shorty, you can!
And we are here to talk about Street Fighter 2 and all the different versions of Street Fighter 2 I'm sure are going to come up. Developed, published by Capcom, and they start the arcade version. I'm just going to start with that. Came out in 1991. So,
who did I?
So, I always like to start with like our memories. For me, I never played this arcade. I played the SNES version because a friend of mine had it. I had a copy of this as a kid, probably still do at my parents' house. I played it a bunch, sucked at it, never could get past Bison as a kid, never beat it. Years later, I beat it on a RetroPie, and then I beat it on the Steam Deck before we did this episode as Ryu. And I was like, I'm going to play as every character. Beat it as Ryu. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. So that's my history of Street Fighter 2. What about you, Blair?
Yeah, I didn't grow up around an arcade. I probably read about it in Game Pro magazine. And whenever I got my Super Nintendo, I guess it was whatever your Batman Returns came out. Because I got a bunch of Batman Returns stuff for Christmas. And then I got a Super Nintendo. So I rented Street Fighter 2. And I couldn't really, I really liked it, but I didn't have the dexterity to do any quarter circle moves. So mainly I played as Chun-Li because all I had to do was like hit a button to do something cool. And then I played all the other editions, but I didn't understand the nuances. And I got kind of bored with Street Fighter 2 and was rather dismissive of it because, you know, you have Mortal Kombat, which kind of exploded after this. And it was 1, 2, and 3 with different characters, different stories. But Street Fighter 2 was just, okay, it's that thing. I played it before with more characters and that's cool, but it just didn't excite me until like much later when I kind of understood the nuances and the differences and how it changed the balance and things like that.
Dan.
So I think I first played Street Fighter 2 either on the Game Boy Advance version, Turbo Revival, which is a very strange version, or on GameTap, which had a bunch of Mamron running. It was kind of like Game Pass back in the oddies.
I remember that.
And I mostly played single player, which is not the way to play Street Fighter 2, and kind of didn't get it. And then a little bit before Street Fighter 4, a version called HD Remix came out. It was a version of Super Turbo that was rebalanced and had redrawn sprites. No one seems to have played it, and no one seems to like it. But it was the one I was playing when I had someone to play with and just absolutely fell in love with it. I had a very comfy chair in my dorm room, and the only person who was allowed to sit in that chair while we were playing is whoever won the last one. And like if I was winning, I would ask my friend to play by like taking the chair and putting it outside of her room and then doing work until she showed up to bring the chair back and play some Street Fighter. Yeah, just absolutely love that game. So my favorite gaming memories ever. So that's my history with Street Fighter 2.
Adam.
I think I might have told this story before, but I love it because it is Street Fighter. I grew up in a small town and my mom would go to the laundromat. And since I was a child, I had to follow her. And at the laundromat, we actually had a 2-turbo arcade. And I was really young, maybe like 4 or 5. My mom would give me a handful of quarters, like pull up a chair and just feed me the machine. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just pushing buttons along the lines of like Chun-Li or Blanka, you know, all these characters that stand out to a 4-year-old. And then eventually, like, I learned how to do moves and learned how to play. And before you know, I would go to an arcade at 7 or 8. You know, I'd put my quarter down and bring up my chair and I'm playing against like, you know, some like high school teenager and like just destroying them. And I love this game and have never stopped playing it.
Kyle.
Well, for me, it started when I was about, say, 4 or 5 years old, around 1984, 1994, probably, if I can get my memories correct. I remember really specifically playing a lot of the Super Nintendo ports of Street Fighter II, like, whether it be, like, renting. I remember, like, really renting a lot of the ports of World Warrior, Turbo Hyper Fighting for Super Nintendo, and Super Street Fighter II for Super Nintendo. I remember renting all of those ports a lot on Super Nintendo. It's not so much that I didn't play the arcade version, because I did. It's just that, ironically, for how, like, super huge and popular it was, there actually wasn't too many Street Fighter II arcade cabinets around my city. I didn't grow up, like, in a huge city. Like, I'm in the Midwest of Canada, and the city I live in now has only become big in the past, like, 15 years. Like, 15 to 20 years now, and even then, it's not even that big of a city. Anyways, the arcade that existed in my area and in my city when I grew up as a little kid in the 90s, yeah, like, the only places I remember ever having Street Fighter II as an arcade cabinet were, I think, some of the movie theaters, and that's kind of about it. So yeah, I remember, like, really playing a lot of the Super Nintendo ports a bunch as a kid, and honestly, like, sorry, I don't mean to make this sound, like, possibly melancholic. Growing up as someone with a disability, being legally blind, and just kind of not really having the greatest dexterity as well as a kid for being a little kid, where I think most kids are usually kind of flexible and that sort of thing. I never really did well at sports, so, like, fighting games kind of clicked with me as a little kid of just, like, oh, I can kick butt. Like, I can like, punch someone or kick somebody in a video game, and, like I'm doing it. I'm controlling it somehow. And that really clicked with me. And also, before I go any further, I just want to, sorry, just, but not, I'm not trying to sidetrack this, but I want to dedicate my part of this podcast to Broly Legs, who passed away recently. He was a fighting game hero of mine. And as someone who's very much in love with fighting games, I've loved fighting games all my life. I just have to pour one out for someone like Broly Legs. He was a legend in the fighting game community. And as a disabled person myself, I always appreciated seeing people like that in the fighting game community. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, so, yeah, I played a lot of the Super Nintendo ports as a little kid. And, like, honestly, like, I just constantly played. Like, and it's funny to me because, like, the early ports of the fighting games didn't have too many modes. The earlier consoles, like on Super Nintendo and Genesis, they would only really have, like, an arcade mode, possibly a survival mode, and a versus mode. So the way I would practice would either be I'd play against the computer, or I'd plug two controllers in and play against myself, or rarely get a chance to play with, like, my brothers. And yeah, like, I just fell in love with it. I loved it. I've loved Street Fighter all my life, and just playing as all the characters. I love playing as the Shoto clones with Ryu and Ken, and I, you know, like, I never quite got into Chun-Li until I was a bit older, because I didn't really get how she played, aside from just being, like, kind of cheesy. Like, you could cheese the rapid kick and everything. Like, just playing as so many different characters. Yeah, like, I really love Street Fighter, so really a lot of Street Fighter for me in my childhood was, like, the Super Nintendo ports.
Okay. Like, I think one thing, like, about this series, I mean, as anyone who listens to the show knows, and as you're going to hear very well, maybe not know, because I don't bring, there's a reason why there haven't been very many fighters. I am not a fan of fighters. That's why I'm surrounded by you lovely gentlemen who are all fans of fighters.
That's fine.
Like, I know you guys all mentioned, like, so, I mean, this game is still played in arcades. Like, people still love Street Fighter 2. I think Turbo or one of them is still in EVIL, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it's either Turbo or Super Turbo, which is a, well, except for that game that came out on Switch, Super Turbo was for a long time the final version of 2. Super Turbo, like Super Turbo and Hyper Fighting, both, yeah, those are extremely popular games. It's amazing how popular they still are.
They're still so playable.
Oh, like, yeah.
And Adam and I got on Fightcade and just played a bunch of Street Fighter, and it's like, oh, this is still so fun. Like,
yeah,
I understand if you're in an arcade and it's like, oh, these matches last 30 seconds, feeling a little ripped off. But, you know, if you're at home, like 90% of people are going to be, it's so much fun. It hasn't aged a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true. But we'll talk more about how this game plays. I think its simplicity
holds up is maybe a better way of putting it.
And yeah, no, that's
there's
fair.
So I mean, many cool experiences and characters and matchups. Yeah, those two games especially, Turbo and Super Turbo,
see,
just phenomenal.
So I was playing the Anniversary Collection on Steam, but I couldn't even beat the first round because there was no easy selection. That's why I went to the SNES port.
Wait,
I
what?
Could
what,
not pull off moves.
What version of 2 were you playing on the Anniversary Collection? What version? Like Super Turbo or?
It wasn't any of those. It was one of the regular ones that had all the characters.
Okay. But, oh, well, that's probably Super Turbo because that's the final version that has all the characters. Super Turbo, especially with its English version, is notoriously cheap and brutal and difficult. Like, you have to play the Japanese version. Like,
it wasn't Super Turbo. I can't remember. I think it was when they first introduced the new World Warrior.
Super. Yeah, then it's a Super.
God, I can't. It wasn't fast though. So I don't remember. I didn't really play a whole lot.
No, that would be Super.
Yeah, because those new characters only appeared in Super and Super Turbo.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I only did it for like 5 minutes, and then I just turned it off, uninstalled it off my Steam Deck, and said, I'll play the SNES ROM.
For clarification, because everyone's throwing around a lot of words, and I know it's kind of complicated.
version
you were playing, did it have Cammy, DJ, Fei Long, and T-Hawk?
Yes.
You were playing Super.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. That's the thing about Street Fighter 2. This is when Capcom really, well, the first time they did this, they never stopped, by the way. You know, how can we release the same game but made some changes and keep releasing it?
Well, there's reasons for that.
I know, it's legit in this case.
I know a lot of people like to joke about that, and like, it's such a common occurrence. It's still like a big recurring joke of like, oh, how many times can Capcom do this? But like, there are genuine differences to those versions.
Oh yeah, no, I know that there's a lot.
And it's not just the differences too. There was a lot of business behind it because the Rainbow Edition's gonna come up, like, which is a form of piracy. So the Street Fighter was so big that people were, you know, they just couldn't get enough of it. So then people were importing like these cabinets with weird hacks in them where people could throw fireballs in the air where they couldn't before. So then they kind of had to get new versions out with like the boss characters in it. And then I should have read it before because I read an excellent book called Like a Hurricane by Matt Leone, which goes into like the history of like Street Fighter 1 all the way up to I think Third Strike, and even has like Children of the Atom and things like that, where Capcom kept ordering more boards and they had to keep doing stuff with them because they had an overstock of hardware. So that was like another factor that kind of got into it too, where it's like, you need to put out some new product, and it's like, we can't put out a new game, so we kind of have to iterate on this one that we have.
Yeah, no, I wasn't like, I mean, I was making a joke about it, but I did know, like, in this time it made complete sense, because also, like, I'm for like the arcade, was it always a new cabinet, or was it just change the board out?
It was probably mostly conversions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Super was CPS 2, so yep. I think they would probably need a new board for that once Super comes around. I mean, we'll talk about it, but I think Super is almost more of a sequel in some ways.
The Super is when it gets faster, correct?
Yep.
No, that's Turbo.
Okay.
Is when they redraw the stages. Do they redraw the sprites? I don't think they redraw the sprites, but there are new stages, there are new characters, there are new mechanics.
There are new scoring systems for Super and Super Turbo, because like there are some new animations for the characters, especially for like
new animations and new moves. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and that's where like combos, which is just a glitch in the original, you know, obviously a glitch they balanced around in Championship Edition and Super Turbo, but now you pull off a combo, you get a point bonus.
Okay, so I saw that a
they
couple
changed
times.
A lot.
Not often, if you can believe that. It wasn't very often I pulled off a combo in this game when I played it.
Yeah. One more thing I want to mention, just for context, is that all these versions weren't necessarily being sold to players. Like, it's not like, oh, go out and buy a new Super Nintendo card of the same game. It's a way for arcade operators, A, keep the game balanced, because more and more exploits were being discovered, and to keep the game popular and exciting, like to keep people coming in and putting quarters in, like I think this is having those new versions is sort of a win-win proposition in this case.
Yeah, plus it's the only way to update the game at that time. This isn't like in today's day and age, you can have updates, you can have, you know, DLC, like you can do little things to make changes where back then, like, you couldn't, that wasn't a thing. So
yeah, like, and like, It has changed. So, like, season two of Street Fighter VI is coming up with a bunch of major changes. And so I'm like, oh, that's going to be the Championship Edition. And that's, like how arcade operators probably saw Championship Edition back in the day. I'm seeing that as an excuse to, oh, jump back in and keep playing this. Street Fighter VI, I don't have to keep putting quarters in.
Yeah, but it's the same idea. Like,
you know, it's a very different time that I think people... And very different business model. And I think people forget that sometimes.
I just like, no, I mean, because they also improve. Like, I know the SNES has, like, what, three carts?
Yes.
This game?
Yeah. Two, World I think.
World Warrior, which is the first version of two. That's what World Warrior is. World Warrior, Hyper Fighting, and Super.
Okay, there was
okay, that's not yeah. true.
So it was like Vanilla Street Fighter 2, and then Super, Vanilla Street Fighter 2, which just had the core eight, and then there was Turbo, which added the bosses,
the boss
and then
characters.
Super, which then added the new characters, and then Super Turbo, for the longest time, the only home port was on the 3DO of all things.
Yeah.
That's wild, and that's easily like the most important, most played version. Not most important, most played.
And that brought in Akuma.
Yeah, and those were the Super Nintendo ports. The bosses were added in a game called Championship Edition in the arcades. And then Super Turbo sped things up, added a bunch of new moves and rebalances. So there was kind of an in-between game there.
So like, I'm not a Street Fighter player, but what I've been doing and what got me into Street Fighter so much, and why this is on the show, is because I can't stop. I got really into a YouTuber called Top Hat Gaming, and I watched a ton of his Street Fighter lore videos that talk. Well, I mean, not lore, and they talk about the character and where the character has been. Like, oh, it's been in, like, Cammy's been in Cannon Falls or whatever the hell that game is called.
Cannon Spike.
Cannon Spike, yeah, which is on the show.
Cannon Spike!
Sorry. Yeah, it's named after her move.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and that's what got me into it. Now, I was watching that, like, you know, and it really, and that really drew me into Street Fighter more because I can't play these games. I'm just not my style. And that's what made me, like, and that's how important, like, the eight original characters in Street Fighter 2 are so important. Like, I see the other characters in some of the Street Fighter games, like, I think 3 is Notorious, which I don't want to go into more than a second. I know is notorious for, like, those characters were forgotten for a long time. But, like, the Street Fighter 2 characters mean so much to people. Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, Guile, Dhalsim, Zangief, Blanca. Forgot someone, didn't I?
Honda.
Yes, Honda.
And then you add Cammy, Fei Long, T-Hawk, yep. DJ. You have Bison, Balrog, Sagat, Vega. Like, these are, I mean.
All right.
Hell yeah.
See, I know both of them. I don't know why I forgot E Honda. Oh, it's funny.
I think you got them all except for Honda.
Yeah, I did. I forgot E Honda. And my dad used to play as E Honda too all the time. I remember, and I didn't like him because he was somehow able to pull off every so often that stupid hand move and I'd get irritated. But I forgot E Honda.
We'll talk about the hand move when we talk about that one. Okay. There are a lot of versions where you can just move forward during it and there's kind of nothing you can do against it.
See, yeah, exactly.
It's funny you mentioned like the lore because I think that's the least interesting part in Street Fighter, and it's something they've always struggled with. Because the characters, it's not that the characters themselves aren't interesting, they're iconic, and you read them just from their sprite. But, say, like Mortal Kombat, they put so much emphasis on the characters and their interrelationships, and in the sequels, it was like, okay, well, Sub-Zero died, but now Sub-Zero's back. And who is this new guy? And, like, Sonya's in the background. What happened to her? And then 3, it's like the world was taken over and these are these new cyborg assassins. And then when they did the reboots of Mortal Kombat, they had, like, the cinematic story modes with all, like, the cool cutscenes. And then that kind of fed into Injustice. And then Street Fighter, like, its lore is all over the place. It's like, there's 2, and then 3 technically takes place before 2, and it's only Street Fighter 6 that's now been past 2 in the timeline.
No,
but like, 3... they put in, like, a story mode in Street Fighter 5, and it's like, we have to get this keys to stop this thing in the sky or something. I can't remember it.
When you have a game that's just fundamentally fun, you really don't need story. And this was the time where when you did beat it, you would get, like, a character quote, and you had to put the pieces together besides, you know, reading the instruction manual to figure out more about the story and stuff. But even with, like, bare bones, like, you know who the bosses are. You know that this guy is bad, not only because he's the last character, just how he presents himself. And it's just easy. You're in a tournament and you're defeating the bad guy and it always feels good.
And I guess in defense of Street Fighter lore, like, is this the first game with different endings for different characters?
Might be.
Because, yeah, I think it might have been the whole fighting game with a bunch of different characters with their own stories kind of wasn't as much a thing before Street Fighter 2.
No, because Fatal Fury, all that stuff, none of that's come out yet. At the time
of this, that was after
Street Fighter 1, you have like karate or something else. I watched a video about this. You had a few things, but nothing. This was the first
Street Fighter 1 is just, you just have Ryu. Like, that's it. And it's like two-player, some like play against like a friend of Ken, and that's it.
Yeah. This was the first game that really liked the style.
But that's, you know, if you are into the lore, and the lore gets pretty goofy and wild, like, there's stuff there that's intriguing. Putting the pieces together and trying to find out the real story and wanting to try each character to see their ending. Like, I'll defend Street Fighter lore, or at least how it's presented, and I find those endings fun.
Yeah, it's true. It's just, for me, this is like a personal thing. Like, I liked it, say, like, later on, and this is like another conversation, because I was in love with Final Fight before Street Fighter, and then when they started bringing in, like, the Final Fight cast into the Alpha series, and it kind of connected those, like, that's when it kind of got interesting for me.
And Alpha goes some wild places.
Oh, yeah.
Goes some very, very wild places.
Heck yeah.
And you have the movies and stuff. Like, there's definitely story in Street Fighter. People are so attached to these characters that very quickly you have this strange science fiction world that never quite makes sense, but I think is always... I'll defend Street Fighter 2's story.
I just enjoy, like, watching... Yeah. When I say I enjoy the story, I enjoy the YouTube videos of people putting together the story for me. It's not so much that I, like, play the games. Go, oh, look at this cutscene. No, I just watch videos and I enjoy when people put it together. Like, I mean, Street Fighter 2 is the very beginning of that. Like, for fighters, I really love the Mortal Kombat 9 and 10, what I played, and Injustice 1, because I love that style of cutscenes and everything. That's, for me, that's how you, if you want me to play a fighter, you give me a campaign, you give me a story, I will play that fighter. Other than that, I'm not into fighters.
And I don't think Street Fighter really had a great story mode until Street Fighter 6, which has an incredible campaign.
Oh, yeah.
To go to what Blair said, I'm also a big Final Fight fan, but I have never played Alpha at all. Like, I was never experienced anything with Alpha. But that'll be another conversation that might happen. It's going to happen at some point, because I do want to touch it. I want to take a look at that series. But, like, that makes me excited.
It's weird. I think you'll like just the mechanics and the style of Alpha. I think you'll like that more than two. But
Alpha is awesome.
But that very goes precise. Into like, that goes into the, I mean, games get better, you know. This was the first, you know, as the years go by, we've learned how to fix things. So, but two itself, the mechanics and fighting, and everything in it is just still perfect. Like, me and Daniel playing, like he said, on Fightcade. And even Anthology, it was just a good time. And I got warped back to an arcade there for a second, like when we were playing. It was just so much fun.
Can I just, what's the word, celebrate online getting good enough for fighting games? Because I think I missed fighting games in the arcade pretty much entirely. I played some STGs, but that's my arcade experience. And I always envied the stories of, oh, people going in and putting their quarters on the counter and fighting strangers. And that is more accessible than ever with online fighting games. Even those older games, like, we played a bunch of Street Fighter 2, and that's awesome. Like, that, this game, you couldn't play it as intended for a while easily. And now you totally just can. And that's great.
Thanks to the
miracle. For the internet.
Yeah. Thanks to the miracle of Fightcade. I can't sing enough praises to Fightcade. I mean, I know there are like official releases from game companies that are getting better with doing online, but like Fightcade, holy crap. That entire program's been picking up so much like weight with like online fighting games. Just all the different games you can play and how easy it is to work. Like, just as long as you do, like, you set the programs, not set programs, like, you just have to like put like a file in a certain thing and then you're pretty much good to go. Like, get your controller, get your Fightcade, get your arcade stick, get whatever you play with, get your computer keyboard. You know, like, I've known people who've played fighting games in so many different ways. Like, whatever way you play, Fightcade will be able to, we'll get you going. Like, you just set up your controls and there you go. And plus, like, you don't have to even do online and fight. You could just go to, like, the training mode. Like, there's training modes for just about every fighting game. And Fight Kid doesn't even do just fighting games. Like, there's puzzle games. You can do beat-em-ups. You can play co-op together. Like, it has so much good stuff to it.
I played through Goof Troop in co-op with a friend over
there. Oh, God. A bit ago. Goof Troop on Super Nintendo is such a fantastic game, man.
It's phenomenal.
Another Capcom classic.
You know, I'm so happy that, like, people can play this online. That like, you guys who love fighters, who want to compete and, like, can have that experience. Because, like, Dan, you are right. Like, we, you know, I mean, I'm born in 87, but I grew up in the 90s. And I don't remember going, I didn't go to arcades a lot. I was a kid. I wouldn't have wanted to, like, I wasn't the right age to be able to, like, because I hear stories, too, about that era where people would put their quarters. But, again, a lot of that, I feel like you have to be at the right place at the right time. You have to be in the right city. You can't be, like, in a quiet area. You can't be, let's say, here, an island in Canada on the far east side, for example. Like, you know, I'm assuming you have to be in a place that had people that, you know, and an arcade in a vast, like, things are changing. But now with the online, people are just able to have that experience, and that makes me happy.
Oh, 100%. And the places that still hold true to these values, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I remember maybe like 5-6 years ago, I went on a trip to Portland with a bunch of friends. It was actually a work convention. And we were there for 4 days. And I remember day three, it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm sitting at a bar and I'm just quiet. I'm not interacting with anybody. And I'm just like quiet. And one of my friends comes up and he goes, "What's wrong?" I was like, "I just want to play Street Fighter." And he was like, "What?" I was like, "I just want to play Street Fighter." He goes, "I got you." So there was a barcade like 2 blocks down. We walk there. And I walk in and there's like people putting quarters down. And I'm like, this is the greatest night of my life because this is not something I have experienced in years.
What was the barcade called?
I don't even recall. At that point, the shots and the
beers. Oh, no.
And just like the inner child in me. They had to wrangle me up.
I'm asking not only because I'm curious, but in a later this year, actually, I'm going to Portland, Oregon. And I really want to check that out.
I will see if I can find it.
Thank you.
Areas. I need to go to Seattle someday.
There. Speaking of barcades and Street Fighter, I want to say there's still a magic to these games. Like, I went in a barcade that has Third Strike recently and played a bit. And there was this kid playing with his friends. And he played a match against me. And I threw a fireball at him. I played Ken because I'm boring. And he looked at me and said, "How'd you do that? How'd you throw a fireball?" So I showed him how to throw a Hadouken, and it blew his mind, and he ran away because he just received this forbidden knowledge. Like, there's awesome. A real magic to these games even now, and all their secrets, and, you know, the beautiful art, and like, there's something so magnetic about these games.
And I think that simplicity has carried on, because, like, when I think about the new Mortal Kombat's, which I played for mostly for the story modes, not so much mechanics, as I think they're a little bit stiff. Sub-Zero doesn't play like he did in the Super Nintendo. Like, things have been changed around, but I was playing, we have a place here, it's called the Rec Room, and they have like a bunch of token arcade machines, and they have Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. And I would go there and just play it, and there was hardly everyone ever played, so I'm just playing the tournament mode. And someone kind of approached and said, "Man, I remember playing that on the Sega Genesis." And I said, "It's not really that different. I mean, of course it is. But like, if you remember how to throw a fireball with Ken or do the hurricane kick or the Shoryuken, like it's all the same. It's all the same inputs. It's the same button layouts. So if you play that, like you can probably play Street." I haven't played Street Fighter 6, but I'm assuming it's... Obviously, it's more evolved, but at the very minimum, you can get in and just, okay, I know how to throw the fireball and do all the moves and everything.
There's a comfort to it as well. Just like,
oh, yeah.
Yep, I can pick up a Shoto and know what to do.
Oh, yeah. Like, even with the new games, like, yeah, you can still do all the moves if you know the inputs. Even when they do change certain characters, like input specials, like it's still easy to do them. And, like, you really get the control of your favorite character again.
Who does everyone play?
Oh, God. Ooh,
that's a good question.
Ed, whoever looks fun that day. Ed, you know, If I'm being cheesy, I'm Guile. I'll Guile and try to cheese you. Vega's always been one of my favorites.
World Warrior Guile is like one of the most broken characters in a fighting game ever created. Like, holy shit. Like everybody who's listening to this, if you don't know much about fighting games, go on like YouTube and look up just like punch in Street Fighter 2 World Warrior Guile. Like, it's amazing how broken Guile is in that specific version of Street Fighter 2. Like, World Warrior 2 Guile is like incredible.
My joke at the beginning about Guile's handcuffs, there's a glitch where Guile can just stick the two characters together, and if he does that at the end of the round, the game is softlocked.
Yeah. I did not know that. I was wondering what that joke was about. Yeah. I was like, what? You can handcuff people? Like, what the?
You can do that specific glitch, which is like hilarious to do. Oh my god. To answer the question, though, I'd say Ryu and Ken, of course. I prefer Ken a little bit more to Ryu, especially when doing the Hurricane Kick, because I prefer having the multiple hits of a Hurricane Kick than over the one. I don't know why, but I just find it a bit more satisfying with Ken's version of the Hurricane Kick, or the Tatsumaki Senpaku. I'm terrible at pronouncing the Japanese name of that specific move. I like Ryu and Ken, they're both great. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Ryu and Ken, I love. I like Chun Li in certain versions of the Street Fighter games. I think my favorite iteration of her is Third Strike, Street Fighter 3. I love Cammy a lot. Cammy's fantastic. I really love Fei Long. I love any of those types of Bruce Lee-like characters in a fighting game. They're just so much fun to me to play as. I love Sagat a lot. He's another, like, just great little Shoto character, Shoto clone character. Just the fireballs, the uppercuts. Sagat's uppercuts are amazing. The dragon punches, or as you'd like to call them. Yeah, Sagat's really great. I've never gotten really good with Balrog or M. Bison or Vega. They're all really great. I do like playing E. Honda sometimes. I've noticed I've really had fun with playing E. Honda in Street Fighter VI. Blanca can also be fun, but yeah, my mains are usually Ryu and Ken, Fei Long, Cammy, and Sagat.
Okay. My answer is much shorter. Ryu. I only play as Ryu in every game that I get the chance to play as Ryu. Because that's, and Ken. Ryu and Ken are the only two I like playing as. Like, I can't play as anybody else. Like, I just like their style. When I was a kid, Ken was my favorite character. Now I go more towards Ryu, but they play from the same.
That's kind of the magic of a game, because how, like, with that core, I'll move it up to the core 12 before you move into Super, where you have this cast, and if you can use Ryu and you can do those inputs, then you know how to use Ken. And if you know how to use those guys, then you know how to use Sagat, because it's the same, like, it doesn't have the kick, but he has the fireball and the uppercut. So it's like, okay, those are three characters in my roster. And if you like charge characters, it's like, okay, I can use Guile, then I can use, say, Boxer. Like, you can kind of go to these different people depending on where your kind of comfort level lies. Like, I can't use heavy characters like Zangief. Like, I just can't do the inputs, as I mostly play it on a controller. It's only these past few years I'm learning to play on a stick. So there's no way I can pull off, say, like, the atomic pile drivers on, like, a Super Nintendo controller or a PlayStation controller. Arcade stick, I'm a little bit better.
So this is going to... go ahead.
I generally go for Ken. The match I talked about in college was always Ken versus Chun-Li with... Our closest matches were always with A Whole New World from the Disney Aladdin playing. So that's part of the matchup. But with the small roster in Street Fighter 2, I know how to play everyone. And that feels really nice, because as you were saying, there's kind of just the two input types, at least until you get to Super. And you have Fei Long's Chicken Wing. I love playing Fei Long. He's my super character. But you have those two inputs and you can kind of play everyone and learn everyone. And I was just learning M. Bison or Dictator. He's not a dictator until the movie, but let's call him Dictator. And he's so much fun. Like, I really just enjoy playing as every character in this game.
Looks like what we would think of a dictator in the early 90s.
So, Mike, I'm assuming if you've gone to the lore videos, like, you know, kind of like for different regions, the four bosses have their names switched around.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they were, because originally Balrog is supposed to be Bison, but they're like, it might be a little too close to Tyson. So,
well, his name is like M. Bison.
His name is Mike Bison.
And Mike Tyson, and he's in a boxer in Vegas. So,
yeah. I was a little too. Yeah, they didn't
his
want to get
hairline too. And his face. It's like, yeah, it's Mike Tyson.
I forget how famous Mike Tyson was in the 90s. Like, to me, he's nothing. I'm like, okay, he was a boxer. He bit somebody's ear. Okay, whatever. Like,
no, Mike Tyson from like the late 80s, early 90s was the pretty damn huge like person in fame. Like,
yeah, he had his own Nintendo game.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, which became its own like inner success of just being like a like damn great game, and it featured Mike Tyson. And then like, yeah, like he was probably the most popular boxer of that era in boxing, next to possibly Muhammad Ali. And you know, and then, well, not to get too dark, there was also the whole rape thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he kind of went away from. But, yeah, I forget how big he was. Because, like, I mean, I was born, as I said, born in 87. So, like, I didn't care. Like, I just knew of him. I never even. So, it's kind of interesting to me to, like, see how much he was part of, like, the culture at this time. That yeah. game, Japanese game developers were putting him in the game. Legally or illegally.
But that's one of the best things about this game is how much it's well known. Without, you know, you may not even know it. It's so cultural, like, it's in TV shows, you know, like Family Guy, Adventures of Bubblegum. Yep. You know when they do, like, the health, and they always make fun of the sounds, you know exactly what it is. And if it's Street Fighter, and just seeing how just pop culture this game is now. It's iconic for a reason.
I don't know if anyone remembers a forgettable 2000s MTV movie called The Perfect Score.
Sounds oddly familiar. I think yeah. it might have sounded like a commercial for
it. It was like a high school or university heist movie with Scarlett Johansson, if yes. I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. That was like right before she became famous. Like, that but was before the... even. What was that movie with Bill Murray? Oh, my God. I can't remember. Lost in Translation.
But one of the characters wants to become a game designer because he liked Blanka in Street Fighter 2.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that is my other main is I'll play Blanka when I go to an arcade machine and there's only one button working and the joystick, like only two directions on the joystick work, so I can only mash a punch button. So Blanka's my guy there.
Mash the electric button.
I won a match like that once, and then the guy said, you'd probably get further on a quarter than I am. Do you want to just switch and then beat me?
Yeah. You know, kind of speaking a little bit of, like, the kind of, like, Street Fighter 2 and pop culture and just, like, how big of a grandmass it's been, like, and how much of an, like, how much, like, popularity and just how much of an impact Street Fighter 2 has had, you know, sorry, not to sound redundant, but in pop culture. I think it's actually really fantastic that we're podcasting about this and we're doing this episode in this year, because I don't know if any of y'all knew this, but with 2024, it being 2024, this is the 30th anniversary of probably one of the very best quote-unquote video game movie adaptations of Street Fighter II, the animated movie, the Japanese anime movie of Street Fighter. I think that... Not to go into a mini me, not to go into like a bit of a mini review. I love that adaptation of Street Fighter. I think the animated movie is excellent. I think the animation for it looks fantastic and still looks good. The choreography, especially for an animated movie, looks like really impactful and well made and well drawn. I think both the Japanese audio and the English dub audio of the movie are both great. Especially because of the soundtrack differences between the Japanese audio of the movie and the English dub audio. Because the English dub audio has a whole, like, licensed soundtrack with a bunch of, like, popular bands of the time. And the Japanese audio has, like, this original soundtrack, this Japanese original soundtrack, which is also fantastic. Yeah, like, I think it's... I'm really happy that we're doing this podcast when we are doing it right now in time. Because, yeah, this is the 30th anniversary of the animated movie. And I love that movie a lot. I think it's a great adaptation. I think it's easily the best movie to like video game to movie adaptation ever created.
Okay. Never seen it, but I do. I know
it's,
of it.
It's a good watch. Even if you're not even like a fan of quote unquote like anime, like I'm not insinuating anyone is, but just like even if you're not, like, it's a pretty good watch. The plot's easy to understand.
It's pretty good.
The animation is, like, once again, animation is really damn good. You get a lot of the Street Fighter characters, and like they do their
moves,
and it's good stuff.
This was my entrance. Like, the whole reason we're doing this episode, I mean, I didn't plan the time, but the reason why it's on the show is because this will branch me off to so many other things that I want to talk about, but I felt like I couldn't do any of those till I did Street Fighter 2.
Well, while we're talking about things you have to do in the future and things that are 30 years old, I have to bring up PAX Bisonica.
All right, nice.
What's that?
Okay.
PAX Bisonica, Mike. Bison dollars will be worth...
Oh.
I can't remember how many British crowns when I kidnapped the queen.
That movie is also a blast. I will defend that movie, the Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I did it on
movie based on Street Fighter 2.
Steven E. D'Souza is a long time ago.
It's been Steven E. D'Souza.
Yeah, but I need to redo it because one, it was the early cast, and two, it was a promotional type thing I did with another podcast where they joined us, and we just ripped that movie apart, and I didn't... I want to do it again with people who appreciate the movie for what it is, so I can look at different...
There will be no ripping.
I have a steel tin Blu-ray out there that has Bison dollars in it.
It's free on YouTube right now, I think.
I own a DVD of it, unfortunately.
I was wondering if anybody else would actually bring up the live-action movie. Like, I don't have much to comment on, but like I respect the hell out of it. Even like for as much as I think people criticize it, I think it's an interesting movie, especially with the director of it, Steven E. D'Souza, and its writer. Both the writer and director of this movie, they're separate people, but like where they came from in action movies, like doing Die Hard, and then like years later directing Die Hard, and then directing Street Fighter, the movie, like. The movie has so much of its own notoriety and fame to it that is excellent. And
credit where credit's due. He wrote Die Hard. John McTiernan directed. Yeah.
He wrote Die Hard.
Based on a novel.
He wrote Die Hard. But yeah, like that guy went on to direct Street Fighter the movie. And then just like the cast of the live action movie is so like just interesting and incredible in their own right. Raul Julia as M. Bison, which is just, oh my god, like, hell yeah, Raul Julia, rest in peace.
We'll redo it. I'll get you guys back and we can go into it in depth.
Hell yeah.
Different.
I also want to mention the video game adaptations of that movie, which are fascinating. Adam and I played a little, because they're Street Fighter 2, but with the digitized feel and kind of faster, chunkier look and feel of Mortal Kombat, and also... way more juggles, like you can do a lot more that doesn't really make sense, and it's just a fascinating alternate reality Street Fighter 2.
It is such a weird experience. Like
it felt about as weird as playing Rainbow Edition, which Adam and I also played, which was the hack that kind of led to Street Fighter 2 Turbo, where things move a lot faster, and there's a button combo to change characters, and you can throw infinite fireballs in the air, and certain characters can fly and wrap around the screen.
It is cool, but that's
wild.
That exists.
Yeah, I sent a few screenshots of like six fireballs on screen, all in the air from when we were playing.
I just got the Saturn version this Wednesday, and it's installed in my Polymega, so I'm definitely going to give it a run. Something to just show how big this was too, because I know, like right now, video game merchandise is everywhere. You can get a local Facebook group I'm in posted how there's like new Street Fighter toys at our local Walmart. And I mean, there is Funko Pops and everything. But when this was big, I wanted video game toys really bad. And there wasn't any. I had Super Mario Happy Meal toys from Super Mario 3. But Street Fighter was the first time I ever saw video game toys on a mass market scale. Now, they were just repainted G.I. Joes, but I had Chun-Li, and it was really cool to have a Chun-Li action figure, even though it had a bunch of guns and stuff.
And a grenade.
Yeah.
She had a grenade on her, because, she's repainted.
Sorry to interrupt. I think I'm going to have to drop soon. Do you want my sign-off, Mike?
Yes, please. Let's do your shelf stacker box since you have to leave, and then we'll get back to our conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is definitely, what was it, shelf?
Shelf means something you love, stack means something you like, but not as much, and box means something you dislike.
Okay, yeah, this game's been on my shelf for a very long time. This is a go-to to play with friends. I'll occasionally, you know, run through the arcade mode. I'll occasionally practice with the character. I'll occasionally go on Fightcade. This is just a game I love playing still. Like, it hasn't aged a day for me. So, shelf all the way.
Where can people find you at, Dan?
You can find me on Instagram at Dan Melman. And I basically just post cat pictures, but my cat's real cool. His name's Gus. So, Dan Melman on Instagram.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. And thank you to everyone for being so flexible with this. My partner's mother just got some major surgery, and I really, really wanted to do this. So thank you so much to all of you. And I hope to spar with some of you on Fightcade soon.
I was going to say, you got to hit me up again. That was too much fun.
Yes, yeah, I'd love to.
If you like Street Fighter 2, I know Dan's in Discord. I don't have a channel for it, but join your Discord. I'm sure you can talk in general and say, hey, people want to play Street Fighter 2. Adam's in the Discord. You'll see a link in the show notes. Join our Discord. See what happens.
Yeah. Anyone here, tag me anytime. All right. Have a good one. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Take care.
Bye, Dan.
Bye.
Oh, and to go on to what Blair said about those G.I. Joes, I had those G.I. Joes too. Like, I had, because I wasn't a big, like, I wasn't a big Street Fighter fan. You know, I liked it, but like, I loved those G.I. Joes. I had a bunch of them because I loved G.I. Joes. In my parents' basement somewhere, there's a huge box of just played with G.I. Joes I was trying to find last time I was over there 3 years ago. But like, just, they were just so cool. And to think, like, that's one of the, and then we also got Mortal Kombat G.I. Joes too later, which I had some of those.
I had more of those. I wasn't a big G.I. Joe guy, but I had a Reptile for Mortal Kombat, and he came with a speedboat that fired missiles, you know, as he does in Mortal Kombat 2, famously.
Yeah.
Ironically, growing up as a girl, to clarify, I'm a transgender man, but growing up as a girl, I even had some of those G.I. Joe, Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat characters. Like, I usually just got, like, the girl characters, because, like, you know, girl power and all that stuff. But yeah, I actually had some of those, too, because, like, I was just like, oh, it's just like the video game, but now it's like a toy. And then, like, I'd, like, make my character do, like, punches and stuff, because it's like, you know, like, I wanted to be, like, the fighting game.
Well, to put how important it was for us to have toys of something that we love, you know, video games, which was still a newer medium at that time.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Adam, were you a collector of G.I. Joes at all?
I never got into G.I. Joes. I'm trying to upload a picture so I can show y'all some of my collection of Street Fighter stuff right now. Just some of it.
But I know, like, that's the thing. Like, Street Fighter is just so important to everybody. And that, I think, and to this day, it's still important. It's still such a big thing. I think earlier, Adam, you'd mentioned about E Honda, like, about that punch or something about it.
Mm-hmm. The walking thousand hand slap.
Yes.
And that was just, you'd get somebody in a corner and you would just mash all the buttons and keep moving forward. And that was it. If Honda got you in the corner, it was one of the iterations, that was it. Like, there was nothing you could do. It was so cheap. And we used the word spam, but it was a technique, just like shooting fireballs, like with Sagat. You know, when you see a character or an opponent choose Sagat, you're going to hear Tiger about 38 times before you even get a punch off.
Yeah, I have the arcade one of Marvel vs. Capcom 1 cabinet. And back in my old apartment, we had a third roommate. And I think she just came out of her room one day and she was just saying, like, optic blast, optic blast. As I would just use Cyclops, as I would, because Cyclops rules.
Yeah, Cyclops is really good in Children of the Atom. And pretty much all the X-Men Capcom fighting games. He's a really good character.
He's good in everything.
Oh, yeah.
The internet just got upset and doesn't know why.
Optic blast.
I kind of like Optic Cyclops blast. Too. Except my Cyclops is that stupid blue costume that he had in the Pride of X-Men. But that's because that was my first introduction to X-Men. Either here or there. Oh, and Adam, this is something that I wanted to bring up with you on here. Is, like, we played Match of Millennium, God, a few months ago, and I got I fell in love with that little fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into this, and it wasn't, I don't know what it was, but it didn't work for me the way Match of Millennium did. I mean, I know it's a completely different game, completely different company, everything, but it just, that one felt so nice. I mean, I know it's simpler too. I think that was it for me. Like, this, I just didn't, like, I had a hard time pulling off moves other than a Hadouken. I did the kick thing, like, once or twice. I even tried messing around with a Cammy and Bison, a couple characters, but I didn't like the way anything felt.
Yeah, and that's something where, again, some of us were born and raised on this game, so our muscle memory for these inputs, like, we just know what to do. Whereas in later games, they kind of made, like, button shortcuts. So even if you only did partial of what you needed to do, the move would come out easier.
And it's just also arcade tuning as well, because like they mentioned at the top, because the Street Fighter collection from Digital Eclipse, it's purely arcade ports. It has none of the Super Nintendo ports or Genesis. I'd love to see that one day if they ever get around to it. I'm not sure they will. But like Super, from what I learned, I think from watching Maximilian Dude or someone, was that, as we already mentioned, like Super Street Fighter, the domestic arcade version, it just has really cheap AI where you're just going to lose. And that was the thing for arcades. Like we
you have to specifically play the Japanese version of that version of Super Turbo, like of the arcade version. You have to play the Japanese version. And the way you know if it's Japanese is the text is in Japanese, because like the AI is like way better in that. Like it's not as like super ridiculously cheap. Like,
well, I'm not sure if it's like Mortal Kombat, but I there's a local place here that doesn't exist anymore, but they had a Mortal Kombat 2 arcade machine, and about round 3 or 4, the AI is just, it's predictable.
Oh, I hate Mortal Kombat. Like, I like Mortal Kombat. Just like, I hate playing like arcade mode Mortal Kombat, especially the early Mortal Kombat's. Like, Mortal Kombat 2 is bullshit cheap. Like,
it's predictive AI that just wants to steal your money. It's not tuned to be fair. It's tuned for you to keep putting money in. If there's no one, of course, around.
So something else that I want to really credit with Street Fighter 2, and I feel like I don't want to go too much into the history, because I feel like, I don't know, like, I don't know if anybody else wanted to cover that, or if anybody, like, you know, if there are other podcasts that do that. But I really want to credit the people who were working at Capcom at the time of making this game and who worked on this game. Like, a lot of really legendary people in the industry. And, like, especially for me as a huge, like, video game music nerd, I really have to give so many kudos to the composers for Street Fighter 2. Like, because we have, like, two big names, especially one, like, huge name. But we have Isao Abe, credited as Oyaji Oyaji, the nickname, because... And especially old Japanese games back in the day, like when the 80s and early 90s, they would usually go by nicknames. Yeah, Isao Abe, and of course, none other than Yoko Shimomura. Just an absolute heavyweight classic of a video game composer. And just, man, like, Street Fighter 2, like, I can't believe the talent behind it. Like, that game had such a fucking incredible, like, game staff behind it. Like, Capcom... in that period was just... I don't know if people really expected something like Capcom... Street Fighter 2 to be as big of a hit as it was. Like, I don't think anyone predicted it. But just the talent behind that game is just unmeasurable. It's fucking incredible. Just so many talented, like, designers and artists. Especially artists. Like, the art of Street Fighter 2, like, the character designs... The animation, like, the frames of animation of characters, like, doing their moves. Like, everything about this game is just so damn excellent. And, like, even people who I feel like may find Street Fighter 2 overrated, just, like, maybe they find it overrated or they never liked fighting games. I feel like even those people would have to be like, no, actually, there is some talent behind this. There is some legitimacy to this.
Well, and, I mean, yeah, something I was thinking about this morning was like just like the music. But now, I mean, they didn't use nicknames because they wanted to. They used nicknames as they had to.
yeah. Well, like, I didn't really go into it when I said it, but it's just like there actually was a reason why a lot of
an anti-poaching method where they didn't know who made it. Then like Konami say it couldn't poach them, and
a
lot of the staff who made Street Fighter 2 went on to work with SNK. I can't remember a lot of the where it started, because I'm not a big SNK person, but every character theme in this game is just 11 out of 10.
Oh yeah.
It kind of goes into like their characters, and
you
just like listen to that soundtrack for all of it.
Like Ryu and his epic like Japanese drum beats of like just that, like that. Not, I don't want to call it harrowing, but just like that mighty epic, like step up to the grand fight type of music. Like, this is mighty. This martial artist, just, he, you know, he doesn't live to be a bad guy. He doesn't live to be anything. He just wants to enjoy the fight. He just, you know, that's what his life is for, is, you know, learning the fight and appreciating the fight, the moment in a fight. And like E Honda's theme music or Chun-Li's theme music with like this like really catchy, like Chinese-esque type of beat to it. And or Blanka with like this jungle like rhythm type of music, or Guile and Ken with their like American themes, and just how catchy those songs are. Or like, hell, M. Bison, you know, being boxer, if it, another definition for the character, if people prefer me naming him with that, like boxer, the boxer's theme of like this Las Vegas like casino-y music of just like this really catchy melody. Like, so many just excellent pieces of music in this game.
I mean, there was a meme going around a few years ago that Guile's theme goes with that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
that, I'm pretty sure that's one of the few memes, like, that's probably one of the like collection of memes, or one of the few memes that's like still stuck to the test of time. Like, I believe that like came into fashion like 10 to 15 years ago, and it's still like still used. Like, I think people still use it. They still make jokes about it. They still, like, it's still being used today.
Rightfully so. When, like you said, everything's iconic in this game, and we still use terms, you know, that came from this game. Like, you can go to any fighting game and be like, it's a DP input, or it's a fireball input, you know?
Yeah, like, a lot of the fighting game terminology really is based around Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 2, and just how accessible Street Fighter 2 made the genre in itself. Like, better controls, like, easier, like, the really easy-to-use controls and the inputs, you know, like, it's so interesting that, yeah, like, Street Fighter 2 really kicked off a lot of what made the fighting game genre and the fighting game community what it is today.
Yeah, the music is great, and I'm not a big music person, and I enjoyed this music. Like, when I played it the one time for this episode, I didn't play much, but I mean, I was muted just because of just the way I play games, but I still enjoy it. Like, I mean, from what I did hear off and on when I had it on, I'm like, okay, this is fun. Like, music's still good. I remember as a kid enjoying it when I would hear it, like, arcades, people were playing it, or when I played the SNES version. Like, I've always enjoyed it, and I'm happy that it's really stand the test of time and people still, you know, really appreciate it. Like, when I was hearing the YouTube video, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty damn good, actually. Like, I was surprised how much I liked it still.
I'm especially a big fan of this is a bit specific. For Capcom, a lot of their arcade games, they had a system called the CPS. I forgot what the stands for, but Street Fighter 2 was produced under CPS 1, and that had a very certain specific sound to it. And I gotta say, I really love the CPS 1 rendition of all the Street Fighter 2 music. I feel like the drums have this very abrasive sound in CPS 1, and it just, there's a lot of like specific instrumentation and melodies with that just sound a certain way in CPS 1 that I really love.
Oh, that's fair. But even we really kind of talked about a lot of the fighters, but one funny thing I found out when I was watching videos that Dhalsim, the way his name came from, was from an Indian restaurant. The two names for curry that they had there that was near the Capcom office was Dal and Seam, were two different, was Lenten beans. So Dhalsim is Lenten beans,
essentially. Wow. So
that's where that name comes from. I just, fun fact, I found out from Top Hat Gaming Man, and I wanted to share it.
You need to do yourself a favor and YouTube Pete Holmes, yes. Street Fighter.
Okay.
That's it.
The password thing?
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, he's like the advisor for the tournament, and he's interviewing, he's interviewing all the fighters and stuff like that. And it's a comedy sketch, but him talking to Dhalsim is probably one of my, you won't stop laughing.
And it's Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And when did Akuma get added to this game? I know he's not playable, but he's in this game as a boss.
It was Super Turbo.
Okay, the last.
No, it was Super Turbo.
Okay, that's the last version?
Yep.
Until we get... Well, I know there's a Switch one that has Violent
Final 10, Challenger,
Ultra Street Fighter 2, and then, as you mentioned at the top, there was a Super Street Fighter 2 HD remix, which all the sprites were redrawn by Udon. But I think that was largely just... And I'm sure if there was any balance changes in that, I think
there was, unfortunately. And there was, like, stuff with, like, sprites that, like, the head detection was actually a little bit different with, like, the HD version. So it's a bit of a controversy, like, with the fighting game community.
And then there was the Hyper Street Fighter 2, which came with the Anniversary Collection, I'm going to say 2004?
Yep.
I know I was curious about the Switch one, just because I wanted to have a version that had all the characters, but that's only on Switch, so that I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I feel like if you do get it, like, get a good controller for it or a good arcade stick, because, like, if you want to learn how to do the moves and stuff, like, get a good, solid controller for it. Don't
just use
the basic Nintendo Joy-Cons. That's going to feel like garbage.
And
I was just wanted on Steam if it existed.
That's my problem that I've come to realize how we were ruined by how kind of... I mean, the Super Nintendo controller is great, but for fighting games, it is terrible. And that's what a lot of people were using, myself included.
Oh, yeah. Same
so,
here.
Like, when you go to, like, the Genesis Mini came out a few years ago and Street Fighter 2 was on it. And playing six-button Street Fighter 2, where you have the three buttons on top and bottom, and on the Saturn controller, it's chef's kiss. So, guys, if you're going to play with a controller, and that's, like, my big problem. Like, as I'm not an online person, so netcode and things being online isn't a sticking point for me. But for the Digital Eclipse recent Street Fighters, it's so adherent to the arcade layouts to its detriment. And so I played a lot of the fighting games, Capcom fighting games on PlayStation 1. Like X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom. And I know they're the worst versions. We don't need to go.
It's so sad.
I don't feel sad for me because that's what got me into those games and I love them.
Hell yeah.
Like any way into that. But you can map triple punch and kick to another button, which made pulling off super moves a lot easier, which you can't do in the Digital Eclipse versions. So like when I played Third Strike for the first time, I was able to kind of have triple punch on like another trigger. And it's really hard to say hit those three buttons on any modern controller where it's Switch, Xbox, or PlayStation, unless you have an arcade stick, and those things can be an investment.
Luckily, there are better options that are starting to come out and have been out for a little bit. One company that's been doing this a lot recently, and I love them for it, is the company Hori. H-O-R-I, Hori, because, you know, it's Japanese. They're putting out these really fantastic controllers for a lot of different consoles and PC, which is just, you know, a basic, you know, USB controller. They're putting out, like, Sega Genesis / Sega Saturn-style controllers for all of these different consoles and, you know, and the PC. And it's a basic USB controller, so you can get one for the Nintendo Switch that, you know, allows it to work on Switch. And you have, like, the Sega Saturn / Sega Genesis style six-button controller, but, like, it'll work on the Switch, or it'll work on Xbox, or it'll work on PlayStation. And, like, I love those controllers so much. I actually prefer to play a little bit more on controller than arcade stick, because I find a lot of arcade sticks are just so big, and I can't really deal with that with how I play video games, because I'm legally blind. For me, I usually use the Sega Saturn-style controllers, and whether I'm playing on PC, because I do tend to play a lot of fighting games on PC through stuff like Fightcade or some of the official releases on PC, if I'm playing on console, I usually try to get like a Hori Fighting Commander controller, and that's what that series of controllers is called, Fight Commander.
But another thing, like, I'm happy that people are able to use, you know, like, the many different controllers, and that there's so many ways for people to experience these games and make them relevant today. And, like, the fact that Street Fighter 2 is still so relevant in 2024, like, that's amazing. Over 30 years ago, and the game is still relevant.
Well, there's a clothing company called Uniqlo who just put out a Street Fighter line, like, last month, and they have, like, a 40th anniversary of Capcom line now. Like, I got a Final Fight shirt, and I'm sure with like a bunch of like a Capcom montage. So it's mostly from like newer games or things that have had collections. But like that, because we're in an era now where this thing was huge, and now everyone who played that, say when it was happening, are now adults and they're bringing to the zeitgeist. So it's only going to get bigger. And Street Fighter VI, again, a game I haven't played, I know it's doing like amazing numbers.
Good. You know, people love Street Fighter.
I was going to say, I think what you're trying to say is it's iconic and we could talk about this all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we could.
That's something I was actually a little worried with coming on this episode, is that like I didn't know like how broad of the subject we were going to talk about with this. Like, would we talk only a little bit about like a certain game of Street Fighter 2 or like a specific Street Fighter 2 game, or would it be a like the entire series of Street Fighter 2? Like, I was a little worried about this and like, man, there's a lot of ground we could cover. Like, we could literally go all day about just Street Fighter 2. Like, holy cow. There is just Street Fighter 2. Like, I love it with all my heart and soul. I love fighting games. And I don't even know where else I could go with this. Like, I could literally go on for hours.
But I mean, it's also interesting to think about, as big as it was, there was a time when there was a worry that it was going to go away.
Yeah.
Because like Street Fighter 3, while revered now, was not a big seller at the time. And I think it was largely Xbox Live Arcade port of Street Fighter 2 that it got numbers when it came out. It sold really well, which was the catalyst for Yoshinori Ono, who is now no longer at Capcom, to convince them to make a Street Fighter 4. To show that there was still an audience, because in the 2000s, Tekken was still happening, Mortal Kombat was on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't new Street Fighter, there wasn't new Marvel vs. Capcom. Capcom's fighting games were gone. And then it was Street Fighter 2 coming out on Xbox, of all things, with that terrible controller. Well, not that the 360 controller is terrible, it's just really bad for fighting games. And because of the weird mushy D-pad thing.
Yeah.
Although I did go to
it. Bushy. I'd say it's just really stiff. Like,
yeah.
That thing was extremely stiff. Like, holy crap. Trying to move it just felt super stiff as hell. Like, I'm forcing my thumb on this angle. Like, why isn't it going?
But now, that being said, I did go to a local tournament for Street Fighter 4 once upon a time. And the person who got into the finals was playing Bison on a regular 360 controller.
That's amazing.
It blew my mind. I was like, I don't know how you're doing what you're doing.
That's amazing.
All right. Oh, have you guys played the Switch version? Are like Violent Ken and Evil Ryu any different?
Yes, they are, because Ryu and Ken, especially in the later iterations of 2, like Super and Super Turbo, yes, they are very different from one another.
Okay. I'll just curious how much they
changed. I haven't, because I never got a Switch until late, and that game is still kind of expensive for what it is.
Yeah, it's but like, honestly, if you have a Switch and if you're willing to spend a bit of money for it, like, go for it. Just like I said, I'm not saying like don't get the game or anything, or like if you don't have a Switch, if you have a Switch and you can find a copy for a good price, totally get it. Just make sure you get yourself like a good controller for it. Like, get something that you would like to play a fighting game on with, like, for a controller.
It's not that, like, because I remember when the Switch came out, because it's this massive thing now, but when it kind of arrived, people were on shaking ground, because it was after the Wii U, and they didn't know this thing was going to be successful, so people didn't want to commit to new games, so Capcom was like, here's another Street Fighter 2, which has this weird mode where you can use the Joy-Cons and make Hadoukens.
Yeah.
So, it's still $50 in the eShop, so that's a no for me, dog.
Fuck, that's too much for Street Fighter 2.
If you can find it, like, physically for cheap, go for it. If it's ever on sale on eShop, like I said, go for it, but like I said, just make sure you get a controller that's comfortable for you. Like, something you would like to play a fighting game with.
I have the Joy-Con grips, which don't leave my system. I even have a special case for them, so that's what I use all the time.
And like for the other, because we pretty much mentioned all the fighters. For the four new fighters, there was a funny thing I found out, that DJ and Fei Long weren't supposed to be the original extra fighters. It was actually supposed to be the twins that end up in 3, if I remember correctly. Whatever their names are. They were supposed to be in this game, but then the guy that was working there was like, no, that's stupid, and they made Fei Long, which is a Bruce Lee ripoff, which is fine. And then that's when we get DJ, also.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Yun and Yang, my sincerest apology. I love Yun and Yang, especially Yang in Street Fighter 3. Like, Yang's one of my probably, not even probably, like, he is right up my favorite character in Street Fighter 3.
Like, cause as I said before, I watch a lot of videos. One thing that always makes me laugh is the timeline of this, because it goes Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 4, 5, 3, and then
yes. 6.
And that amuses me, by the way. But that's all. I just wanted to say that. Like, I mean, this game that really defines,
I feel like for lore nerds, like, look, just, I don't know, be careful if you get into Street Fighter 2. Like, get into it because you want to play the video.
Oh, yeah, no, nobody's...
That's why you should get into it. Like,
I'm one of a kind. I doubt there's a...
If you want the story fun, hey, that's awesome, but just, like, try not to get too bent out of shape over it, because, like, if you think about it too much, it's gonna drive you nuts. Like, just...
Enjoy. I'm pretty sure nobody but me is sitting there watching videos that doesn't even play these games, that just enjoys watching. I mean, okay, there's probably a few of us, but a low percentage.
Well, there's a fan of everything. It's just that Street Fighter is, like, the story comes from the characters themselves. Exactly. Like, you read, even though if you kind of look back at Street Fighter 2, it's almost like playing on stereotypes. Like, Zangief's ending is, like, him doing, like, the Russian dance.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
With Gorbachev.
Yeah. Gorbachev. Like, wow, Capcom, that's amazing.
That's something that ages it to a very particular point in time. I mean, he was in power for a bit, though.
You get everything just by looking at that sprite. Like, this guy is a hairy-chested wrestler. This guy is a martial arts guy. This is your American flag guy. This is, like, boxer.
Yeah. Chun-Li, like, oh, did you know that she, like, uses her legs a lot in her moves? What happens, like, her legs are very much exposed. Like, she's wearing a power dress that with a bit of a short skirt that exposes her legs, because she uses her legs a lot in her moves. Like, she uses her legs a ton. Some of her special moves even includes using her legs. Like, Chun-Li uses her legs a lot.
I've always liked Vega. When I was a kid, I thought Vega was really cool, because he had the claw and everything, and he could climb. Well, you can't climb, but he can climb. I always thought it was cool.
I could never get the hang of how to use him at all.
Me either. I just thought he looked
cool. I was always a little, like, confused by Vega's special inputs. I never really got good with him. But I've seen people who have, and, like, it's astounding. It's so amusing to see it in action. I also found Vega a little confusing as a kid, because, like as a little kid, I thought at first Vega was a girl, but then, like, wait, no, Vega is a guy, because he's shirtless, and he doesn't have, like, you know, women's breasts, but also, like, he has long hair, and that's what made me think of him being a girl or a woman. And then, like, it's also just that, like, Vega confused me, because, like, okay, so he's from Spain, so I guess he's Hispanic, but, like, he has long blonde hair, and I'm like, that's a feature Spanish people have, long blonde hair, like, and he yodels, like... Yeah, that's another thing that a lot of Spanish people do a lot. Yodel?
Hey, it can be said. It was the 90s. It was the 90s. Oh, and Adam, I know you have to leave shortly. We're getting to the end, but anything that you want to bring up? Like, any characters? Anything that we haven't talked about that you like to touch on?
It's... Oh my gosh. If there's always going to be stuff to talk about. But no, I play everybody. I love everybody. But again, I've been playing this game for 30 years. So, like, hearing, like, people having trouble doing the spinning pile driver or not knowing how to play Vega. It's like you have to completely just alter your mindset when you're doing those and just practice. And in 30 years, you can practice a lot, especially with how available you can just always find this game.
Yeah, I'm always happy when any game is widely available, because it makes me happy just to give people that chance to play things and experience games. And like one experience I had with this that I forgot to mention is I was at Shields hunting store with my son. We were just at a mall and we were just walking around, and they just had a random just an arcade table like thing set up, and just a demo, you know, and you just play it. And I remember I just picked up and just played it with him real quick, and we just played like two rounds and I beat him, and he was like, okay, let's walk away. I'm like, all right. But it was just, I was like, oh, you know, it just felt good just to play it for five, you know, for a couple minutes, like just one of those games. And Adam, since I know you have to go, what is your shelf stacker box?
Oh, this is Easy Shelf. I mean, I have a shelf. It's on it. I have Quarter Circle Forward Punch tattooed on my wrist.
That's cool.
I am a diehard Street Fighter fan, and this is why I am. So yeah, I think would go without saying shelf.
Oh yeah, no, I already knew. I knew everybody's been into this going into it, but I have to do it because.
Of course.
And where can people find you at?
Talk Games Chew Bubblegum.
I'm happy that you guys have been back now for what, over 6 months?
Yeah. Still going strong. We've got back loads of recording, so we won't miss another episode again and get thrown into a loop like we did.
See, that's what I do too. I mean, I got way too far ahead, but yeah, no, that's the right way to podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you
well, with that being said, it's always a pleasure being on here, and thank you. But I do have to run now.
Oh, so. Of course, Adam. All right, yeah. You have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
I know we're getting near the end of this. I'm just trying to think of some other stuff that I want to mention while we're. Is there any other character you guys want to mention from this game, real quick, that we haven't touched on much for player Kyle?
I'm pretty much just good to go. Like, I think I've talked my heart out about what I could with Street Fighter 2 and just its importance and the characters and the gameplay and everything. But that's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, again, we can go on for
for
a long time, but I think we've kind of touched on, like, the big points, as it were, without getting to, like, the very, like, small minutiae.
All right, so I want to go to questions, comments, or memories. I don't have much, but I have a couple I'll read. First, from the official Laser Time community, from Trey Johnson, friend of the show, Nintendo Main Podcast. This game in Super Mario Brothers, I own the most copies of. I bought it for every system I own that I can play it on. One of my favorite fighting games of all time. From David Hatfield. He just posted the meme. So this place looks safe. I'll just park here. Just shows the random car that you can break in this game.
That's good. I love that.
From Chris Lichos, I always appreciated Street Fighter, but I've always been terrible at it. Good memories of seeing that arcade cab everywhere. From the Super Nintendo Supergroup, from Alan Freeman, playing it on Curry's before release, my dad bought SNES bundle with Street Fighter, SNES best console ever. I don't know what Curry is. Okay. From Ryan Del Rosiero, the reason we got SNES back in 93. From Alex Rickon, Street Fighter 2 to me is the best fighting game of all time. After all these years, it still massively holds up. From Gary DeMonte, my favorite moment is when I glitched the game against my friends so that Guile's Sonic Boom and Flash Kick came out at the same time. Shit was so hilarious. Right? And from Alex Lopez, best ever. And from the last group, I posted in a Street Fighter group, and I have one. The one guy just said Street Fighter. Heart. From Anthony Gordon, I've been playing Street Fighter 2, mainly Champion Edition and Turbo, since I was 14, and I'm now 45. I still play it most days online on the Switch and have three different Street Fighter 2 arcade machines since the 90s. It's a very special game to me, and it can't be overstated how important the game was and still is. Still no better fighting game out there. This is my garage and home to my latest arcade machine. And he posted a picture of a very nice car. And in the garage, he has the mural of part of the SNES cover with Blanca doing a cannonball at Chun-Li in his garage. Yeah, this guy has money and loves Street Fighter 2. Yeah, I'm glad that this game is so important to people. I really am. And I'm glad that it's important to all you guys that, you know, have joined me to talk about this today, because I really didn't have a whole lot. I wouldn't have had a whole lot to say if it wasn't for other people who love this game.
Yeah, no problem.
And then we'll go to Shelf Stacker Box for the three people that are still here. Blair, what about you?
I don't even know if you need to ask this question. It's a shelf. I'm going to play it all the time, and I might gravitate to other Capcom fighters because of ease of play and because I'm more into a certain, say, license variety. But we wouldn't have a lot of things if not for this. There wouldn't be a Mortal Kombat. There wouldn't be fighting games. Arcades went on for a few more years because of this and all of the... Like, I don't like using the word clones, but basically people trying to kind of go on the coattails of Street Fighter and, like, brought us so many things. This is a legendary game from a company that even now is still at the top of their game, mm-hmm. and we're all the better for having it.
All right. And Kyle?
This is easily on the shelf. I love this game so damn much. I love a lot of the Street Fighter series a lot. I love 2. I love what 1 did for the genre of fighting games, and I respect the hell of it. It's a little hard to play, but, you know, like, I love Street Fighter to so much as a series. I love 2. All the versions of 2. I love them. This is so easily on my shelf. Like, any version of Street Fighter 2, any of the home ports, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, those are both fantastic. It doesn't, like, it's like... Man, like, I just love Street Fighter 2 so much. Like, this is so easily on my shelf.
Okay. And I'll go last. I'm going to be the controversial opinion. I'm going to put it in the box. Not because this game is great, but because it's not for me. I'm not a fan of fighters. I didn't really have a great... Like, I didn't really even have the drive to want to play more, even though I thought I would. I thought I'd want to mess around more and do more. And I just wasn't interested. that's nothing wrong with the game. It's just, it was me, it's the timing, and these reviews are very based on the timing when I play them, and I was too much shit going on, and I just, so I'll just go in the box. But I mean, I still love Street Fighter. I mean, I love the series. I'm probably going to be more like what to Blair's comment, more of the licensed variety of the games that are coming up eventually, that I had to do this before I was able, in my opinion, in my brain, to get to the ones that I really want to talk about, the X-Men games and stuff like that, because I think that's where I might be more interested. But no, I mean, game is great. Street Fighter 2 still holds up. It's just box for me, but I'm really glad that it's now part of the show.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I should, oh, God, I almost forgot. We didn't, I want to, before we go on to the very, before I tell you what next week is, I want to give away a code. I forgot to do that earlier, like I normally try to. So here is a code, Steam code, for Finding Paradise. The Steam code is JMYTRMBEYO or 0. Try either or. I think it's a O, but just to be safe. ZKBCD. That is your Steam code for Finding Paradise. All right. And next week, we are going to be talking about The World Ends With You. You can hear us talk about a DS game. So that will be next week's episode. And Blair, where can people find you at?
You can find me on most social media platforms at Blaircade. You can read my work, which has not been as rapid as of late, at comicbookvideogames.com, although there will be a new Ninja Turtles game coming out at the end of April that I'll have something to say about. Well, new to consoles anyway. Yeah, and if you like what you've heard here and have the money, of course, I recommend checking out Like a Hurricane by Matt Leone.
And Kyle?
Well, you can find me a few different social media places on the internet. You can find me on Blue Sky at ChibiUFO. At .bsky.social. Once again, that's at ChibiUFO .bsky.social. And you can also find me on Instagram at ChibiUFO. Once again, that's at ChibiUFO. You can find me on Instagram there. I'm usually posting just random pictures of stuff in my life. And you can also find me on my own, very own podcast, the Unidentified Flying Obsession Podcast. I released an episode early in March, right near my birthday, to celebrate the birthday of Cynthia Rothrock, in which a friend and I discussed our favorite Cynthia Rothrock movies, and we gushed like total nerds about how cool she is, and just had a big celebration of her. I actually have another episode in the works. I have my guest. We just need to get together and make our recording. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to ruin the fun, but I'll give you a hint. My friend and I are going to really go for it. So there's your hint. I know it's pretty vague, but like I said, folks, I don't want to ruin the surprise. But yeah, you can find me at that as well for my podcast. You can find the podcast on pretty much any type of service that you can get your podcast. I believe it's on Spotify and Apple and a few other different RSS feed-like programs. Once again, the podcast is the Unidentified Flying Obsession Podcast, or the UFO Podcast.
And you will see a link in the show notes. Plus, when it comes to RSS feeds, once you put yourself on like the main ones, you will somehow, other things will just take it and it will end up everywhere. Like, that's what happened with me, too. Like, it's the weirdness of the way the internet works. So,
okay, cool.
It'll just end up places.
You can find me on all those little miscellaneous places, and I just want to say again, thank you so much, Mike, for having me on here. I got to really speak my heart about fighting games and Street Fighter 2. And like I said, I want to dedicate my part of this podcast to the unfortunate passing to Broly Legs. This is my tribute to him. That guy was my hero as a fighting game fanatic and someone of the fighting game community. Just even as disabled as he was an inspiration to me of just, you know, just keep on playing fighting games. Like, if you want to try fighting games, try them out. Like, I hope if people take anything from this podcast, if you're interested in fighting games at all and you just, you know, like, and you're new to them or anything like that, just try them out if you're interested. Try them out. Practice. Just, you know, like, it may seem like, oh, there's so much to do, but, like, honestly, fighting games are practically more accessible than ever. Like, and, you know, like, I know there are, like, modes in a lot of modern fighting games that dumb down a lot of the fighting, like, the inputs. I'm not looking down at anyone for using them, but, you know, don't be afraid to try, like, the different ways to play a fighting game. Like, if you want to play the original way, play it. Like, it just takes practice. That's it. That's the only thing that's stopping you from getting good at fighting games is just practicing, you know? Like, you know, and, like, you can do Fightcade, you can do the console ports, you can do online through the official means. You know, there's multiple ways to try out fighting games, you know? I'd honestly say it's more accessible than ever. So, yeah, if you're at all curious and want to try, you want to get into fighting games, then do so. Like, just do so and give it a shot. You may like it.
All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, over 600 other episodes of this podcast, you can find everything we do on Podbean. You can go on our Podbean bar. You can search things. You can search Street Fighter. You will find a couple things, depending on when you listen to this, because there's a few stuff. You can search X-Men. You will find some things. You can search Mega Man. You will hear more Blair. Search Blade. Just to give you some random stuff that we've done. I'm trying to do that every episode now to shout out something that I've done that someone may not know. So give you a reason to listen to me chat on about plugs. And please join our Discord. We have a Discord. Link in the show notes. I'm always happy to have new people joining. So please do that. Also want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy Helena at Hell Hasphere. You can follow her on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok. I don't know why my brain froze on that word. But yeah, definitely go check her out, support her. You see a link, show notes, link tree. We have a Patreon. If you want to support the show for as little as $1 a month, you can vote in our Patreon. We have Patreon polls every month. And I also, when I do video episodes, I release the unedited ones on Patreon. So if you want to see that, it's there. Not often, but I do it sometimes. So definitely go check that out and support the show. I greatly appreciate it. And I just want more people to vote in the polls and help out support the show that way. So definitely go do that. I want to give a shout out to Bill Tucker with A Gamer Looks at 40. He's been on the podcast many, many times. So definitely go support him. Check out Nintendo Main Podcast and Nomads of Fantasy, two other podcasts that I work with, that I'm good friends with. So definitely go do that. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, audio only. We're on TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky. And review us wherever you get your podcast, please. It helps a lot. So just do a quick review. Facebook, appreciate it. Wherever. Review us anywhere you can. Spotify, I don't care. Please review us. I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.